Again, it is so good to be with you this morning. I would only have one wish, and that would it be in person. But again, we're doing fine. I know you're doing fine. Continue checking on your brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're going to continue doing ministry, and I know God's going to be glorified in all of these things. And that's been my prayer through this. I want you to turn with me this morning. I want to get right into the Word this morning. And as I was preparing for today's message, I really felt the Lord impress upon me that, you know, we could take these days that we're in right now, and again, who knows how long that we're going to have the stay-at-home order, or if it's going to even be more severe. We don't really know. But one of the things that we can do is we can become so inward-focused that we forget that we're still called to be lights. Now, I understand the restrictions, and we need to honor. I think our mayor's done an incredible job, and our leaders are doing all that they can. They're doing what they know how to do, and I appreciate that so much. But I know we have these restrictions, but that doesn't stop us. You know, technology's been an incredible asset for us during this time to be able to come into your home or wherever you might be this morning and share the good news. And again, this doesn't just apply right here in Cleburne. This message literally goes around the world. I have friends and loved ones in other parts of the country and colleagues around the world that will tune in and watch this at some point. That's amazing to me. We've been able to do small groups through Zoom, and it's wonderful that we live in a time that has the technology to allow us to do what we're doing this morning. But I want to preach a word to you this morning, and this is the message I want to share with you this morning: living in His peace, living in His peace. And again, as I prepared this message, I felt like the Lord just reminded me that we can't get so consumed. I understand we're fearful, and I understand that we're frightened and we're uncertain about what's going to take place, but we cannot be overly consumed about what's taking place because God has promised that He would take care of us. So we need to keep moving forward and not just pause and become static right where we are. And so we're going to start moving forward and get outside of our own concern. So anyway, Psalm chapter 29, verse number 11. I want to read just one passage of Scripture. I'll refer to several more in my message this morning. But Psalm 29, verse number 11, it says this: "The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace." Let me read that again. "The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace." May the Lord add His blessing to His word this morning. Now, as I said, I want to talk about living in His peace. And like I said last Sunday morning, when we welcomed just a couple of months ago, when we welcomed 2020 as the new year, when we welcomed it a couple of months ago, we had no idea that today we would find ourselves in our current situation. In fact, if I remember back in January, there was a lot of optimism, and there were people that were saying, "Pastor, I really feel like there's a shift in the atmosphere. God's doing something pretty incredible." And so people were optimistic about this year. Again, the year of perfect vision. Dreams were being talked about, and then all of a sudden we're hit with this pandemic that has wreaked havoc on a global scale. You know, it's not just happening here, it's happening around the world. I saw a little deal the other day online, and it talked about 191 out of 195 countries have some sort of outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. Here's the thing, most people are in a crisis mode. Most people are in crisis mode, and what does that mean? It means that their senses are heightened as they anticipate, and I know you feel the same way, they anticipate the other shoe dropping. You know, we think it's bad, but then there's something inside of us that says, well, it's only going to get worse. Let me ask you, is that where you are this morning? You know, maybe you were one of those that shared with me the dreams that you had and the optimism for this year, but maybe you see your dreams evaporating before your eyes, and you wonder if things will ever get back to normal. We're in a crisis, and again, that probably is an understatement. But I shared with you last week a message the Lord burned in my spirit that you and I as believers, we have anchors of faith that hold us secure when the storms rage around us. I was reading a little bit this week, and I came across the fact that in Chinese, the word for crisis is formed by two characters, one for danger and one for opportunity. And I thought that was very interesting because what it means is that in a crisis, it presents an obstacle or threat, but also it offers an opportunity for growth. You know, when our present situation changes, and I'll just be honest with you, I pray things don't go back to normal. You know, I've been out helping mow some yards, and some of the things I've seen over the last week is I've seen families that are walking the neighborhood, spatial distance accommodated, of course. I've seen posts on Facebook about families that are doing things, maybe for the first time in a long, long time. And so when this situation passes, and by the way, it's going to pass, I pray things don't go back to normal, because not only have I seen a revival taking place in the families of our community, I also have witnessed an awakening of a sleeping church that is being noticed today by lost humanity. You see, you and I cannot fall back into a slumber and ignore the great harvest that's right here in our own community. And again, I know things are a bit scary, okay? I understand that. And maybe you're nervous about the outcome. Again, the uncertainty, that's what it does to us. We're not sure what's going to happen. We wake up in the morning, we have no idea what's going to take place. Again, it's understandable. But I want you to understand this morning. You can walk in faith and still be a bit nervous. Amen. You can still be a bit nervous. I don't think our anxiety catches God by surprise. Now, I know he tells us not to be anxious, but through prayer. But I don't think it catches him by surprise. He implores us to trust him no matter what. But he also understands the struggle is real. I know every time you turn on the news, or every time you log into an account on the internet and you see the cases of COVID-19 increasing exponentially, I know there's a little bit of fear and intimidation and maybe trepidation going on, but he says, trust me. Trust me through all of these things. See, we're conflicted. We're conflicted people, and our time is characterized today by an absence of peace. Most people today that are alive right now have this inner turmoil that's going on. And again, I think the lack of peace today is merely evidenced in the inward turmoil, I can't even talk this morning, that men and women have in this world. I've heard it said before, lack of peace in our nations reflects a lack of peace in its people. And, you know, peace will always elude us, my friend, if our definition of peace is the cessation of turmoil and conflict. If my version of peace is all about everything becoming normal and everything being fine and everything going my way, then peace will always elude me, because there are always going to be challenges. There are always going to be things that will, one day we're on the mountaintop singing praise the Lord, the next day we're in the valley crying woe is me. There's always going to be the vacillating of life. To truly have calmness amid chaos, we need a different kind of peace. You know, Jesus weighs in on this peace, and in John chapter 14, he said, this is what you need to seek. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. I love that, because what Jesus is trying to get us to understand is that the concept of peace the world has is not the same as the peace that he gives to us. You see, biblical peace is not the absence of conflict or crisis. It's an inner calmness and tranquility, or a quietude that brings inner rest for our soul. Let me ask you, when was the last time that you slept soundly? When was the last time that you were able to lay down and not have a million things running through your mind? See, as a believer, that's a prerogative that you and I have. That's the heritage of those who belong to the Lord. God spoke through Ezekiel the prophet in chapter 13, verse 10, and he said, there are some that have misled my people by saying peace when there is no peace. Basically, what he means is there are people that talk about peace, but they don't really understand what peace is. And you and I have to be careful about grabbing hold of somebody else's version or definition of what peace is. Again, one definition the world uses for peace is the absence of conflict. And many people, you know, those who fight for peace, view peace, again, simply as cessation of hostility. But as a Christian, you and I have to be concerned with more than that. See, peace is not merely an absence of conflict. Because what happens is, when the outward conflict dies down, that inner conflict surfaces. See, our uneasiness, maybe you're watching this morning, and that uneasiness that you feel right now may be indicative of an internal conflict that's going on in your heart, because that's what happens. You see, the real need today, more than the cessation of conflict, is for true inner peace. And I think that's what the Lord sent me to share with you this morning, is that you and I have the opportunity and the privilege to live in his peace. Again, people can't find that inner peace this morning. And there's a desperate need for that inner peace. What type of peace am I talking about? You have to understand the source of peace that I'm talking about is God. Okay? You see, true peace is a provision that only God can give. I love what Isaiah 26:3, I love how he put it. He said, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." Why? Because he trusts in you. That's peace. See, Isaiah unfolds that and gives us the key to peace. If you truly want to have peace amid all of the chaos that we're living in right now, we have to trust God. That is the key. As we trust him, our peace is no longer predicated on what's happening around me, but about the faithfulness of God. Let me ask you, have you found God to be faithful? If you found God to be faithful, one of the words that we use in theology is the word immutable. It simply means that he's the same. He's unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God has come through for you before, then you can have faith in him that he will come through for you now. If God has delivered you before, he'll deliver you now. If God has provided for you, he'll provide for you now. If God has ministered to you, he will do that now because he does not change. Again, Isaiah said the key to having that type of internal tranquility and quietude is simply to trust God no matter what's happening around us. You've heard my story many times about when Sheila had her stroke in 2012, and that one Wednesday night, I'll never forget what day it was, that Wednesday night when everything was just awry and her numbers were bad, and the cardiologist had come in and they didn't know what was going to take place. They didn't know how she was going to respond, and I was fearful. I was fearful that she was going to die, and I was so upset, and throughout the day I would pray and say, "Sweetheart, please don't leave me, don't leave me, don't leave me." Again, I was nervous and just had anxiety. And that later that evening, as I was sitting there, again, you've heard this story, as I'm sitting in that hospital room and I'm in the corner and I've been praying and crying most all of the day, I walked over to her bed. The thought just kind of hit me. And I walked over to her bed and I grabbed her by the hand and I said, "Sweetheart," I said, as I was praying to God, I said, "God, she doesn't belong to me. She belongs to you. And if you're ready for her, then I'll let her go." I said, and I promise you, I'm not going to curse you, and I'm not going to quit preaching, and I'm not going to do what you've called me to do. I said, the only thing I am going to ask you to do is give me strength to keep going. And when I said that, you've heard this, but when I said that, there was a peace that came over me like I've never experienced in my life. It was like being out in an August sun, drinking a cool glass of water, and it literally going down from my esophagus into my gut. There was a coolness about it. There was a peace that transcended all understanding. You see, the thing is this, circumstances can't change constantly. And if our peace is predicated on what's happening around me, then I'll never find this peace because I may get a phone call. I may have a knock on the door. I may go into the job and find out I'm not essential any longer. I mean, there are things that happen all the time. But if my peace and your peace rests in the immutable God, then when everything around me is imploding, when things are falling down around us and there seems to be no way out, we can still have that inner peace and assurance that everything is going to be all right. I love Psalm 4:8, was written by David, who knew what it was. He had experienced his lifetime of conflict. Again, most of his life, David, he lived in conflict and hostility for himself. Again, he was pursued and hounded by King Saul and his enemies. And I love what he writes in Psalm 4, verse 8. He simply says this, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Let me ask you, when was the last time you had that kind of peace? Here's a guy on the run for his life. He's been living in conflict most of his life, and yet he still has the wherewithal and the confidence in God to say, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep, because you, Lord, make me dwell in safety." Do you have that? If not, you can. In our text, again, David writes, "The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." You see, David understood something I think oftentimes we forget. You see, he recognized his inability and God's ability. He recognized his inability and God's sufficiency. You see, David knew something that most people around him had forgotten. He knew that God was able to take care of him no matter where the circumstances of life took him. You know, again, I'm not sure where he learned this. Maybe he learned this in the desert when he was watching those sheep Remember when the bear came or the lion came? Maybe that's where he learned to have confidence in God. Maybe it was when he stood alone facing the giant, the Philistine giant in that valley. Maybe that's where he learned to have trust and confidence in God. Remember, Goliath came out saying, you know what, today I'm going to take care of you. You come out, what a mockery it is. And remember what David said? He said, you know what, you come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. That's confidence. See, David was able to do that, not because he was self-confident, but because he was God-confident. He had trust in God. He learned. Somewhere he learned that the Lord was his peace. David experienced true peace that only comes from God. You know, I love what Paul said in Romans 5:1, because this is available to us. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you are a believer this morning, if you're a believer through Jesus Christ, you and I are at peace with God. We're at peace with God. See, the source of peace is God himself. The result of that peace is that the war is now over. Listen, the circumstances will change. Things are going to happen. But I want to tell you this morning that God's peace with him is the war's over. You see, before you and I began to trust in God, in that relationship that we have with him, we were at war. We were in conflict with God. We were alienated, the Bible says. We were separated from God. When we surrendered to Christ, the hostility ceased. And now, through Christ, we have peace with God. But that's not all. You see, it gets better. Not only do we have peace from God and peace with God, but we have peace of God. Paul, writing in Philippians 4:7, says, and the peace of God which surpasses, I like that, not just getting by, not just squeaking by, it surpasses all understanding or all comprehension. He says, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, this is where it gets good, friend. As believers, we are at peace with God, and because of that, we now have his peace available to us. I want to encourage you today to be at peace. If you don't hear anything else I say in this message this morning, be at peace with the uncertainties of our day. You will not find it within yourself, but God's peace is available to each and every one of us right now. This peace is incomprehensible because it rests not in the circumstances of our life, but it rests upon the trustworthiness of God. This is the peace that, I love this, when all hell's breaking loose around us, when the doctor says it's incurable, when the job hands us a pink slip and says you're no longer needed, or the mortgage company says we're going to foreclose. See, this peace that I'm talking about this morning enables us to square our shoulders and declare, I know in whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Do you have that kind of peace this morning? If not, you can. You see, you and I, we belong to God. Let me say that again. We belong to God. And no matter what happens, he's promised that he will take care of us. Psalm 91 tells us, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness, listen to this, his faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. That's good news, friend. If you were here, I would say, give me a good amen, because that's truth right there. Jesus tells us in John 16:33, he said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So how do we find this type of peace? Well, let me tell you, Scripture is very plain. And it says that this type of peace is a byproduct of our relationship with Christ. Think about this vertical connection right here. Remember, I've often said this, if this is wrong, this is wrong. If this is out of kilter, this will be out of kilter. What Paul is saying is, what Jesus is saying is that, listen, if you want this type of peace, and again, it's evidenced throughout all of the scriptures that I've been sharing with you this morning, if you want this type of peace, it comes in a relationship. It is a byproduct of the relationship that you and I have with Christ. It is an outflow of that relationship. In fact, Galatians chapter 5, peace is listed as part of the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, it is the fruit of our relationship with Christ that enables us to have this peace of Christ in our lives. One of the results of keeping our minds steadfast on the Lord is that we learn to trust him through the uncertainties that come our way. I don't know about you, but in my lifetime, when I rededicated my life in 1985 until now, God has demonstrated himself over and over and over again to be trustworthy. And that brings a supernatural peace. Oh, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about my church family that I love dearly, that I've been a part of for many, many years. I love you. And I am concerned. I want you well. Beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. That's my prayer for you this morning. I do, but I'm not stressed about it because God is trustworthy. He's demonstrated himself time and time again. You see, the reason we keep our minds steadfastly focused on him is because we know that he has all things under his control. We know that if we just focus on him, he'll settle us down and give him peace. I want to challenge you. When you start feeling a little bit anxious and maybe a little fearful and sad, do something different. Turn the TV off. Log out of the internet. Go for a walk. Put on some worship music. Get the Bible. Begin reading the Word of God. Check on a brother or sister and pray for them. Start focusing on him because he will take care of us. You know, implied in our trusting him is an aspect of communion with God. And here's the truth, friend. If we're not in communion with him, we can't have his peace. Let me say that again. If we're not in communion with him, we cannot have his peace. You see, out of that type of communion, it brings his peace. And both prayer and praise are part of communion with God. They are directly related to our peace of God. Reading in Paul's writing to the Philippians in chapter 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I would say rejoice. "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Can you see that connection this morning? Look at the connection. The connection is between the peace of God, which guards our hearts and our minds, and the prayer and thanksgiving which precedes it. In other words, if I will spend my time in prayer and thanksgiving to all the things that God has done, then peace is part of the blessing that I have from spending time and communing with my Heavenly Father. See, the bottom line is this. If we're really going to have peace, then we have to be in a relationship, regularly commune with him, or we cannot have it. We cannot be and this is my word, you know, I invent words all the time. We cannot be a praiser and a prayer and not be a recipient of God's peace. It just cannot happen. Because when we abide in him and he abides in us, then that peace is an overflow of that relationship that we have. You see, God has promised in these verses true peace. The peace that God gives frees us from anxiety and fear. When we're living in a trusting relationship with God, knowing that he can take care of our needs, then we experience the freedom even in the midst of adversity. That's true peace. I'll never forget that in that hospital. From that time on, you know, she had another stroke in 2013. I never feared. She's had episodes where she's had acute MS attacks, and when I was in Israel last year and she fell and broke her hip, I was anxious to be there with my bride, but I was not scared and I was not anxious. I was bothered because I wasn't there by her side to go with her through that surgery she had to have, but I wasn't fearful at all because God had given me a supernatural peace. I want to tell you, friend, come out of that darkness that you might be in this morning. Come out of that fear and anxiety and let his peace guard your heart and your mind, but it happens when you commune with our Heavenly Father. Remember what Jesus said. He said, "My peace I give to you." Remember? "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world." I'm not going to give you what the world gives you. That's what he's saying. I'm going to give you something else. Because the world says the peace that we have to offer is the cessation of conflict or circumstances turn better. But that's not what Jesus says. Yeah, I'm going to give you peace, not like the world. I'm going to give you my peace. "Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid." That's my word to you this morning. So are you at peace right now with the uncertainties that we have going on? Again, nobody knows. Even the experts are not fully abreast of what's going on with this COVID-19. And if you're not at peace, you can be right now. You can be. And maybe you're tuned in this morning, and I'm going to wrap this up and close. One of the things I want to do right after I do the closing prayers, I want to speak a blessing. So many of you, years ago, I used to do every Sunday night, I'd do a blessing. I want to do that again. I want to bless you, and I want you to stay tuned and receive the blessing that I will speak over you here in just a few moments. But let me ask you this question. Maybe you've tuned in this morning, and Jesus is not Lord of your life. Listen, you can't have the benefits of the family without being part of the family. My job is not to come here and to deliver a message to ease someone's conscience. The Bible says that we need to prepare to meet our Maker. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Every one of us will stand before the Lord, and maybe through all of this, people are becoming sensitive to the fact of our own mortality. We're not going to live forever. We will pass away at some point, and we need to be ready to meet our Maker. Are you at peace with that right now? If you were to die today, if your appointment were to come, God forbid, right now, why would He let you into His heaven? You can't say, well, I've been a good person. I've not cheated anybody. I've not harmed anybody. I'm a generous, benevolent soul. No, that's not the ticket that gets us to heaven. It's what have you done with Jesus Christ? You know, the Bible says that He's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. And it's very simple. You know, we make a mountain out of a molehill. It's very simple. The Bible says that if we call upon the name of the Lord, we'll be saved. Confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart. You know what, if you're watching this morning, and maybe you want to do that. Maybe you want to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Then I want to encourage you right now. Go ahead and comment so we can begin praying for you. If you want to rededicate your life this morning, go ahead and make a comment on our streaming right now so we can pray with you. It's not hard. Confess. The Bible says we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Right now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put off another day because we have no promise. And when you do that, I want to encourage you to expect God's peace. You see, when you confess Him as Lord and Savior, you now become at peace with God. And when you're at peace with God, now you're entitled to the peace of God. So I want to encourage you to do that this morning. And again, if you're not at peace with the circumstances of our day, with the uncertainties that we have right now, you can be at peace this very moment. You can have that overwhelming sense of peace that calms us in the midst of our storm. You see, faith in Him is not misplaced faith. He is offering us His peace if we will simply keep our mind focused on Him. Have you surrendered as I close this morning? Have you surrendered to your circumstances? Have you surrendered to your circumstances, or have you surrendered to Him? Have you let it go? Or do you fret and worry, overwhelmed with fear and anxiety? Friend, I love you. Let it go. Let it go. Call out to Him. Shed your tears. Do whatever you need to do. But get it out. And trust in Him. Let His peace guard your heart and mind through Christ. Remember our text, the Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. I'm going to close in prayer. And like I said, I want you to stay with me just for a moment longer after I pray, because I want to read this blessing to you. And I'll do it again in the tradition that we used to do, the Jewish blessing of extending my right hand. There in your home, why don't you extend it here in just a moment to receive the blessing. But let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank You that peace is available to us today. Lord, I thank You that even in the midst of these uncertain times that we live in right now, we have no need of fear. Lord, Paul told us about perilous days that would come upon us in the end times. Lord, these are birth pains that let us know that You're coming soon. And I pray, Father, that we would not be guilty of digging into the world, but that we would start holding loosely the things of this world so that we can focus on the mandate that You've given to each of us. And that is, as believers, to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. Father, I pray during these uncertain times that You would fill our hearts with Your peace. Lord, I pray that peace would guard our hearts and our minds. When we find ourselves drifting because the news seemingly gets worse and worse and worse, Lord, I pray that we would tune that out and get back to Your word and start focusing. Lord, I appreciate what our leaders are doing, and we need to stay at home. We need to only get out in these in absolute necessary situations. But Lord, I pray that we would not just circle the wagons and hunker down to where we don't think about anybody else. Lord, I pray during this time that we pray for the body of Christ, that we pray that the church would seize the opportunity that's afforded to us right now. Father, I pray that we'll pray for our neighbor, our loved one. And Lord, I pray that we would, through the technology that we have available to us, continue to reach out to those around us to check on and pray for. And Lord, I pray that miracles would happen, even right now, for those that are watching that need a miracle. Lord, I pray You'll touch that one that's in such pain this morning to bring healing to them. Lord, that one that's so confused right now, Lord, bring clarity of thought, Lord, as we focus on You and Your goodness. Lord, may your peace guard our hearts and our minds. Decisions that have to be made. Lord, there are those that are watching that are in positions that have to make decisions, and maybe they're supervisors or CEOs or what have you. Lord, I pray that you'll give them wisdom beyond their understanding. Lord, guard them. You said that when we come to these places in our life that we need to make a decision, that we'll hear the voice of the Father say, this is the way, walk ye in it. May we be tuned in and sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit throughout all of this. Lord, I look forward to the day when we can come back as a body again to rejoice one-on-one or face-to-face. But until then, Lord, we take advantage of all the technology we have. Our prayers, we know, are not relegated to these four walls. Lord, I pray right where they are, wherever this might be, where they're watching, I pray that you'll fill that place with your presence and give an overwhelming supernatural peace right now. Now, if you'll stretch out your hand, get my glasses on. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you with the promises of God, which are yea and amen. The Holy Spirit make you healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit to move you in faith and expectancy. May God's angels be with you to protect and keep you. May God's grace be upon your home, that it may be a sanctuary of rest and renewal, a haven of peace where sounds of joy and laughter grace its walls. God give you success and prosperity in your business and places of labor as you acknowledge and obey the imperative of Scripture concerning the tithe. God give you spiritual strength to overcome the evil one and avoid temptation. God's grace be upon you to fulfill your dreams and visions. May goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your long life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I love you very much. God bless you. I'll see you Wednesday night. If you need anything, we're here at the office. Let us know. God bless you, and I love you.